You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Mightier than thunder, stronger than the seas, softer than velvet, robed in majesty. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, creation shout your name, forever you're the same. Your love is higher, higher than the skies, it's deeper, deeper. And the ocean is wide. You're the color of all colors. If only we could see, it would be amazing, beyond our wildest dreams. Swifter than a river, tamer than a stream, brighter than any star, bigger than anything. Creator of the universe, you are the God who sees. You know when a sparrow falls, and you care about me. Your love is higher, higher than the skies, it's deeper, deeper. Ocean is wide. You're the color of our colors. If only we could see, it would be amazing, beyond our wildest dreams.
Hey, you are.
It's higher, higher than the skies, it's deeper, deeper than the ocean is wide. You're the color of all colors, if only we could see, it would be amazing, beyond our wildest dreams. Higher, higher, higher.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. So glad that you are joining us today. It is right now about 5 minutes after 11, just trying to get our lines all connected here with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, who is joining us. And we are so blessed to have you with us today, Rabbi. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yep, I hear you.
All right, we're bringing you in clear. I think that's going to work really well. Well, we want to just welcome you again to WCNO. Rabbi Kahn, you've been with us several times on air. And, of course, you have many books that are out, but today we are, and all bestsellers, but today we're going to be talking about Avatar. And so a lot of things are happening in our world. I thought maybe as we just open up here, you may want to say hello to your family. I'm going to call Florida your family, too, and then we'll get into some things.
Yeah, always great to be back. I'm always blessed to talk to or be there at the Treasure Coast, and it's an example. It's a time where we were on air, you know, and doing interviews, but then you know I had a chance to meet when I've come down there to meet the people and meet the pastors and meet the very precious believers of Treasure Coast, and always zealous for the Lord and zealous for praying for this nation. So it's always a blessing. Always a blessing to be back.
Well, Rabbi, the world has changed a lot. You know, I think about the return. Think about the ladies' event that took place in Washington. There's been some very key things there. Of course, the war's been continuing in Israel, and we've have the attack against Charlie Kirk and some of the things that's taking place. And of course, we want to get into the book, and we're going to do that in just a moment. But let me just say what a privilege it is to have you with us. And to be able to open up our hearts today to really receive the message that God has for us, because I do believe that God has raised Rabbi Kahn up to be a voice from the beginning to me, the way I understood it. And Rabbi, forgive me if this doesn't come out quite right, but I've just really seen your voice as the voice that the Father is speaking through you as a shofar to our nation, to the nations of the world. And I really sense that there is a message that God releases through his call in your life that is so timely and so important for us to receive. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Always an honor. And these are truly critical times and prophetic times, critical times, you know, with everything. As we were talking before we came on the air, you know, things are changing so fast, you know, from again, we can start just in the last, like, month and a half or so, Charlie Kirk, you know, and then what's happened in Israel and where we are still. There's so many things that are hanging in the balance, including the peace in the Middle East, but also America itself, and this is a critical time.
So just where are we in regards to prophetic things and the war in Israel and what's taking place here in our country? Do you have just a thought about that before we jump into the Avatar?
Yeah, with Israel, you know, the issue is always the existence of Israel. It's not like other nations. You might have a border war. You might have a territorial. It's always about the existence of Israel. Hamas wanted to destroy and wants to destroy Israel. Hezbollah wants to destroy Israel. Iran wants to destroy Israel. That's what Israel is dealing with. And so it's really ultimately fighting for existence and against great demonic evils. I mean, Hamas is a demonic thing. You know, I spoke about this in the Dragon's Prophecy, the book before, the last one. And you know, the word Hamas means evil. I mean, it's a Hebrew. It's not just Arabic. It's a Hebrew word. It means evil, violence, and destruction. And it's actually in the Bible. And so that is what Israel's dealing with. And yet, at the same time, and we know, I mean, we're blessed that the hostages came back and there is a kind of form of peace, very shaky. It could change at any time. But we also know that there's not going to be ultimate peace until Messiah brings it, because that's when he's coming. But by the same token, all of these things that have happened have even increased the hatred of much of the world for Israel, if that's even possible, you know. But it has, and the younger generation. I mean, even the who may be the future mayor of New York hates Israel as it exists. As he doesn't believe it should exist as a Jewish state. So you know, we are in truly biblical times, because this all lines up with what the Bible says, that in the end days all nations will come against Israel. But we pray for as long as we can that America not be part of that. But there are. You know, ominous signs. I mean, the Democratic Party has, you know, just in the last few years, has shifted from one that was somewhat pro-Israel at that point to now anti-Israel. I mean, you know, officially by the polls. But there are even some troubling signs among some conservatives where really anti-Semitism or anti-Israelism is seeping in. And we have to be very strong in it. Doesn't mean we have to agree with everything any more than we agree with the government of America. But we love America. But we need to stand and pray for it, for the peace of Jerusalem, and pray for Israel. That's where Messiah, Jesus, is coming.
The loss of Charlie Kirk on the campuses, obviously that's been a pretty big deal. And one of the things I believe you've spoken to, that wasn't just a random act of violence. It seems that, you know, the Avatar is going to address the demonic plans, forces that are working globally in agreement to try to take control again. And you're going to get into that in a moment. How does that whole picture of the demonic attack and program, how does it fit into, and witchcraft fit into what's happening here in our nation?
Yeah, the thing is that the Avatar has just really, it's new, it's just come out pretty much, you know, in the last month. But it came out the week of its coming out. It culminated with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and the Avatar is very much linked. You know, it really reveals things. The Avatar is really like pulling away a veil behind what is happening in the political realm, the cultural realm, and that there's a whole nother realm. There's a realm of mysteries and templates that are behind it. Biblical mysteries, ancient templates, spirits, forces that are behind all this. That, you know, even behind who's in the White House, who's on the national stage. And even with Charlie Kirk, you know, there were 2 days before the assassination, a woman posted online from an organization, posted that she had hired witches. I mean, this is not just some woman. It was an article by a prominent organization that she was representing, and she paid for witches to place a curse against Charlie Kirk. 2 days before, 2 days later, he's assassinated. Now, of course, witches don't have any power that God does not allow. God allowed it, but there we are clearly in a spiritual warfare. In the Avatar, again, which came out the same week, there's actually a chapter called The Witches, you know, and it also something about assassination. And the warfare, we are in a war, a spiritual war for the future of America. It's not just cultural, political, it is spiritual. And that's the ultimate thing. And it's a spiritual war between, on one side, forces that are seeking to preserve America's foundation, its values, its identity as a biblically, strongly biblically based nation. And then on the other side, those or that which would seek to overturn that. Charlie Kirk represented the first, the former, those seeking to preserve, and he was struck down. And it's interesting because the place in which he was struck down is called Orem, Utah. What does Orem mean? Orem means the serpent and the dragon. So it was the place of the serpent and the dragon. And what does Charlie Kirk mean? What does Kirk mean? Kirk means the church. So literally, a man called the church comes to the place called the dragon, and the dragon strikes. And it was the enemy seeking to stop the church, stop revival, stop what God would will to happen. And silence, because he was literally struck in the throat. He wants to silence, but the thing is that, you know, for God's people, death is never the last word. It's the first word, you know. It leads to life, resurrection. And so we are witnessing an uptick of Generation Z that's of turning to God. And people coming to churches who never came. So this will go with the Avatar too, because the Avatar is going to reveal the prophetic moment we're at. It's not only it's the mysteries that we're all dealing with, but it's also the prophetic moment. And this is such a critical moment that the only thing that can save America is revival. So we need to pray for that as never before. And I know we'll get there, but I mean we'll get to that part in the Avatar. But that's what this is all about.
All right. Well. The book is available where? We're talking about the Avatar. I have the book in my hand. I just finished it last evening, and I've been in it for a few weeks now, taking a little time reading, writing notes, and it definitely addresses some things that is new. It's fresh. So where's the book available?
The Avatar is literally everywhere. If you
everywhere.
Go online right now,
okay.
Yeah, if you go online right now on Amazon or anywhere online, you'll see it. I mean, it's also in Barnes & Noble and all the other places, but if you go online, you'll see it. Just don't confuse it with the Avatar, the movie. Make sure that
there you go.
It says The Return of the Ancients and the Future of America. And I pray people get it, not just for themselves, but get it for people in their life who need to wake up or be awakened or know what's happening and where it's going, but also for people who need to be saved, because some of these mysteries are, you can't argue with them. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, whoa, behind all these things. It's probably the most explosive book I've ever written.
So this book, actually, you get into some personal encounters with demonic strongholds and with the gods and spirits, and you address some areas in India. Incidentally, I've traveled to those same areas you were talking about. Very interesting. And in Nigeria as well, in some of the same areas. And I, as I was reading, I related to that. So you in the Avatar, you share some of what has happened you personally have experienced. And especially in India, where the trumpet, the shofar, and some just amazing moves of God as a result of that.
Yeah. You know, I've spoken about the gods, like as in the Return of the Gods, and the Avatar is kind of like in some ways a sequel to that. But taking it into every realm, including the political realm, every realm we're watching now. But the thing is that I have never actually shared in a book my encounters, and so I give a taste of that to really set the stage of what's happening in America. But yeah, I was asked to go to India. Now, you know, the Bible says that behind the gods are spirits, or what's called the Shedim in Hebrew and daimonia or demonic in Greek. And so I was asked to walk in the footsteps of Thomas the Apostle throughout the land of India, retrace his journey, because it is believed in church history that Thomas went to India and brought the gospel there. So as a Jewish believer, they asked me to come and walk, and I did. And ultimately, according to the tradition, Thomas was killed on a particular mountain, martyred by radical Hindus. Well, I was asked at the end of the journey to go up that same mountain and hopefully not get killed. It was a time of radical Hindus and taking over the culture in India, and Christians were being killed. So it was the most dangerous thing I ever did. But the spiritual part is that, I mean, I never saw the power of God and the power of the enemy at war as I did then. And by the second day, my team and I were almost killed on the second day. And if it was not for the hand of God throughout that journey, I would not be alive today. But I'm going to share, and I share some very strong encounters, very dramatic. But I'll share this. Near the end of the journey, I'm standing in front of a crowd of thousands of Indians. It's at night. We're outdoors. And I'm going to minister the gospel, but I'm led to sound the shofar, the trumpet, which in the Bible represented God's power. Well, I sound it. We have no idea what happens. I mean, it's like this wave comes back. And I can only describe it as, imagine you're at an exorcism, except multiply that by mass, a mass exorcism. We're hearing screams all over, and it was like a mass departure of spirits. And the thing is, the Bible says that when you sound the trumpet when you're in warfare, and the enemy, you'll defeat the enemy, or the enemy will flee. And you know, for ages, actually, the shofar has been used in Jewish history for the devil to flee, but also in exorcisms to drive out spirits. But the thing is that it's a symbol. It's you know, God, the power is the Lord's, but it's a symbol of that. But the thing is that the people in India have no idea. I mean, they're not reading Jewish history, and they're not reading the Bible. But as soon as the shofar sounded, it was this like a mass exorcism. And after that, I shared the message of salvation, and we saw about 75,000 Indians pray to receive Jesus as their Lord.
Praise God.
We first had to see that. It was like showing me the power, how real this is, the realm of the spirits, the realm of the gods. And this would lead to a very different journey right after that, which was to the island of Cuba.
Well, let's go to that mountaintop. The one thing in this book, as I read, there was a reoccurrence of similar things, but in different places, different nations, and that really was it was a great awareness being brought to me about how similar and how global this work of the enemy is.
Yeah. When I went up the mountain of Thomas, a man was waiting for me in India, and he said, I've been waiting for you. The Lord told me, he said a year ago I was on this mountain praying, and the Spirit told me that there's a curse on India and linked to this mountain epitomizes it, and a Jewish man has to come back like Thomas did and go up the mountain and not get killed. He said, you've been proclaiming that throughout the city for a year without knowing that anything about the event of me coming. Well, I'm in Cuba, and Cuba is a land also, people think, okay, it's communist, secular. No, it's filled with the worship of gods, and that is, it's called Santeria, where the gods are disguised as saints, and they're actually worshiping African gods. And there's the same phenomenon, as you said, the worship of gods, and actually in every land, there's also the phenomenon of possession. They believe that gods possess the people, and they become avatars of the gods. That's all over. And it makes sense because the Bible says these are spirits and spirits seek to possess. Well, in India, in Cuba, Fidel Castro had opened the island for 1 month for believers to have gatherings to show that there was freedom. There really wasn't, but he did. Well, I was asked by the believers to open it up, to sound the shofar, and I did. And I ministered across the island for that month, and I'm in a region called Orientes. And while I'm there, a guy comes off the street, and he says, I have to talk to the Jewish guy. He said, before you came, we went up to the mountains and prayed as believers. And the Spirit said, there's a curse on Cuba, and a Jewish man has to come. It's like the same exact thing that was said in India.
Wow.
You know, and he says, the curse has to break. And then he says, there's this mountain over the city, and it's a cursed mountain that they worship all the gods on top of it. They have voodoo and witchcraft and sacrifices. And God said the curse is going to turn into a blessing and come down the mountain. Well, I said, okay, I guess I have this new ministry of going up these cursed mountains. So,
right.
So I go head up the next day with my team, and I take the shofar, the trumpet, get to the top, and there's a pavilion, like a house of the gods, where filled with idols, and a guy's standing in front of it, and he calls out to me, like, as if he knows me, I don't know him, comes over to me, he says, I've been waiting for you, and he's holding in his hand a ceramic plate. On the ceramic plate is a painting of me, and it's a painting of me with a shofar that I had brought up to blow on that mountaintop. And he says, I'm a believer. He wasn't one of them. He says, I'm a believer. He says, God told me, the Spirit told me to paint this plate. And he told me to put the plate into the house of the gods, and I did. And that night something happened. The leather strap, the new leather strap that was holding it, tore apart. And it came down, the plate came down and struck the head of the idol and struck the idol down. And the next morning, the people who worshipped the gods opened up their house and found their chief god named Oshun on the floor there was a crown on the idol, that a ceramic crown attached to the idol that was removed from the head of the goddess. And next to it was this Jewish guy, this little plate for the Jewish guy with a horn, with a trumpet, and you could see from the way the chip that it was the mouth of or the end of the shofar, the trumpet, that struck the head of the goddess and removed the crown. And the people on the mountain took it as a sign from the heavens, and we heard after that there was that people in that city were coming to churches, bringing their idols and their gods, and saying, "Smash our idols!" We heard what happened on the mountaintop, and revival broke forth.
Praise God! It sounds like the Book of Acts in a modern day setting. It's tremendous.
Yeah, and even the Book of Judges, where they put the ark. Ark of the Covenant in the temple of Dagon. And that morning, next morning, they find Dagon struck down. I mean, and people say, okay, that's just a tale. No, no, no. The God of the Bible is alive and well.
So that really opened the door to a lot of ministry that took place in Cuba.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there was revival. And I mean, at the end of the journey, I gave a Bible to Fidel Castro and a prophetic word that I had written on a paper, and also a shofar with a scripture engraved in it. So yeah, those amazing things happened there, and that led to Nigeria. You know, and that's where you said you've been there as well.
Yes, and just to recognize that God has brought the church to this time and brought you, Rabbi, to these places. And, you know, the hand of God is upon us. We know that God's not finished at work. How does this issue with the gods, maybe in America, maybe they don't dress up and we may not have as many mountains with the shrines and all that on them, but how does this affect us in the modern world? And how even did the Olympics tie into this whole restoration of the gods returning?
Yeah, well the thing is, it has everything to do with us, and the thing is, because one is, the spirits are real, the gods are real. I mean, we, you know, they're called, you know, they're worshipped as gods, but these are spirits or principalities, and they, you know, they don't die, number one, and they change their form. You know, as you saw, they were, as you said, there, there's all these similarities, because they all actually transmute, you know, depending on the culture. Well, they still will seek to affect the West, and the more dangerous thing is, because in the West, you know, we're not aware of these things, so we can be more affected without realizing it. And that goes to the parable that Jesus gave about the man who was possessed and he gets delivered, but he stays empty of God, or he empties himself of God, and so, dangerous thing, the spirit comes back and bring seven other spirits, and they repossess the man. And Jesus said, so it will be with this generation. He wasn't just talking about a guy. The thing is, when the gospel came into the world, into the West, it cast out the gods, you know, cast out, which meant it cast out the spirits. It was like a mass exorcism. And then America is descended from that civilization, with the West. But the thing is, the warning is that any nation or civilization or culture that has known God or been so delivered, if it should ever turn away from God, ever empty itself from God, then the spirits that were cast out of it will come back into it. And that is what we've been witnessing in America. We thought we could empty our culture of God, but the warning from the Bible is the house will not stay empty. And the gods that were cast out of it, or the ancient spirits, will come back. And I first began opening up this mystery in the return of the gods. We can actually identify them. But in the Avatar, it's coming even further. Because, you know, we can identify this exact principalities and what they do and how they do and where they are in our culture. You know, it's amazing, but I call it the dark trinity of gods. And one is called, in his ancient name meant the possessor. Another was called the enchantress, a goddess of sexual immorality and gender confusion. Another, Moloch, the goddess of child sacrifice and abortion. So there's so much happening with that. And the thing is that the Olympics, you know, this year, I don't know if you saw it or your listeners saw this, but it was probably the most widespread act of blasphemy ever in human history, broadcast all around the world. The opening ceremonies, they have a scene representing the Last Supper. And the Last Supper, in that scene, instead of the apostles, it's men dressed up as women gyrating around the table, and a pagan. And on the table, instead of the elements representing the Lord, his body, and, you know, the wine and the bread, is a platter of, and you take, they remove the platter, and it's a pagan god, a man dressed up as the pagan god Dionysus. And it was blasphemous, but it was actually prophetic, because that's what's happened, is they replaced Jesus with an ancient pagan god. Now, when the gospel came into the world, the gospel cast these things out. Jesus cast out Dionysus. But now they're replacing, it's like they're casting out Jesus and bringing these gods back. Well, that's what's been happening to the West in graphic form. And there is a warning, because there's a guy who actually did this. in the 19th century in his own life. He replaced Jesus with actually Dionysus. His name was Friedrich Nietzsche, and he was a German philosopher, and he's the one who wrote the words God is dead. He wrote books saying, get rid of Christianity, we've got to get rid of it, and he lifted up Dionysus. He actually venerated Dionysus. Well, Dionysus would drive his followers insane, to insanity. Well, Nietzsche goes insane, and at the end of his writings, he writes, instead of signing it as Nietzsche, he signs it as Dionysus, as if he had been totally taken over. And then, you know, it went on because there was someone who picked up his writings, and his name was Adolf Hitler, and he followed the writings of Nietzsche, who, well, you know, basically was possessed. And, you know, the Nazis did as well. He became their philosopher. The result was the Third Reich. The result was World War II. The result was the Holocaust. The result was like 60 million people being killed. That's how dangerous it is to turn away from God. And that's the danger and the warning for America and the West.
I didn't see that opening, saw a little bit of what followed. And even though there was a little bit of noise about that, it seemed that in most places it wasn't a big deal. It was almost as if that was okay. And that was a global proclamation for sure. Well, you talk a lot about templates, Rabbi, and the Avatar opens up some of the templates. And how do the templates work? How does this work in regards to America and what we're dealing with, and how can you apply them, or how are they being applied?
Yeah, well, God is the God, you know, of yesterday, today, and forever, and He knows every event that's ever going to happen, and His guide is the Word. And so there are things in the Bible that are amazing because, you know, like saying there's nothing new under the sun, that we're actually replaying. And the Word serves as a barometer and a compass to tell us, these templates tell us, okay, this is what's happening, this is where you're at. Well, you know, when Israel turned away from God, it wasn't just the gods, it was the kings and queens who led them away to worship the gods. And the amazing thing is, there's this temple in the Bible, the Avatar opens it up, where that behind what is happening in America, even in the White House, even throughout, I mean, the last like quarter century, is actually an ancient mystery. Behind each leader is an ancient leader who is the key and the template and the prototype of the American leader. I mean, it's so exact and so kind of stunning that it not only reveals the people, it reveals the events, what they will do, it reveals their personalities, it reveals even how long each of them will have on the national political stage. It even reveals specific dates, I mean specific events. For instance, this ancient template reveals, when you apply it, it revealed what was going to happen, you know, what the attack that happened to America on 9/11, but also that it would happen on that exact day, September 11th, the exact day. And it revealed, and I mean, if you knew the template beforehand, it revealed even the exact hour it would start. So this is revealing everything that's happened from Bill Clinton to Barack Obama to Hillary Clinton, even Osama bin Laden, 9/11, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, everything. We can touch on, give a taste of it. But it's amazing, and it's exact, and it's specific, and it's where we've been and where we're going.
So a lot of talk about kings these days, right? We don't want a king. I see people marching over a bridge here in town, right? So there's a big issue in the Avatar. I saw a little of that. How does the template impact the king and queen? What does that have to do with Donald Trump?
Okay, very interesting. You just connected that. We've had this whole big thing saying we don't want a king.
Right.
And the template is ones of kings, you know. And so I mean, you know, you can apply it however. But the thing is this, the mystery of Donald Trump is revealed. And this is one of the things the Avatar opens up in the man in the Bible called Jehu. Jehu was not a politician. He was a fighter, Donald Trump. Jehu was wild, unpredictable, you know, you never knew what he was going to do or say next, Donald Trump. Donald Trump began ascends. He comes down the staircase, announces, begins his race to the White House. Well, Jehu begins on top of the staircase, comes down the staircase, and begins his race to the throne. Jehu comes to the capital city with an agenda. It's to drain the swamp, Donald Trump. Jehu makes an alliance with the religious conservatives of the land, of the nation, and so Donald Trump allies himself with the religious conservatives of America. Jehu, in order to win, he had to come against the nation's former first lady to contend against her. Well, Donald Trump had to come against the nation's former first lady, Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton had been on the national stage, political stage, with her husband for 22 years. But then after that, she was in public office and then ran for president, totals up to 14 years. Well, the ancient queen who opposed Jehu and who Hillary Clinton is linked to, it's not about this. We pray for all people. It's not about the people. We have no enemies, but people can be used. The ancient queen was named Jezebel. Jezebel was on the national stage with her husband for 22 years, on her own, 14 years, until she comes against Jehu. And this mystery not only reveals that I'm opening up. It's a whole section of with the avatar because it involves everything, and it not only reveals how long each person will have on the national political stage, but it reveals the outcome of elections. For instance, Jehu. Okay, the template of Jehu is that he first opposes the sitting king or ruler, and then the ruler kind of fades away in one form, and then he's replaced by a woman who has an anti-biblical agenda, and he opposes her, and he prevails. Well, 2016, that was the template of Jehu. Trump, the American Jehu, first opposes the sitting ruler, which is Obama, and then Obama is basically replaced by Hillary Clinton, a woman with an anti-biblical agenda. Hillary Clinton is the template of Jehu. He contends against her, and so he wins. But in 2020, it wasn't the template of Jehu. There was nobody. He wasn't opposing a king, and he was in power, and the whole thing didn't happen. And so he does not prevail. Whatever you think of what happened with the votes, he didn't prevail. Well, but in 2024, it's different. The template of Jehu resurrects. And so what happens? Trump, first, you know, Jehu opposes the present king, and so Trump comes against the present ruler, Biden, and he wins in that debate, and that ends Biden's career, political, you know, plans. And then Biden is replaced in the race by a woman with an anti-biblical agenda, which is Kamala Harris. So it is the template of Jehu again, and so it determined that Donald Trump, he wins. So the template of Jehu determined he would win, he'd prevail in 2016. He wouldn't prevail one way or the other in 2020, and he would prevail again in 2024. And so that is why he is president. It's amazing, but it's true. And so, you know, that is – and who else in American history, American presidential history, who else won by contending against a woman with an anti-biblical agenda? Only Donald Trump, and that is the template of Jehu.
Well, our listeners are going to have to get the book to get into all these details because there is so much here. Again, talking with Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, very well-known author, number one seller, New York Times, and we are talking about the newest book that's been released, The Avatar, The Return of the Ancients and the Future of America. And we have, about 20 minutes or so. Rabbi, I want to make sure that we get into a little more of this. Definitely we'll want to look a little bit at Kamala Harris and some of the information that's in the books, how that affects things. And that's quite amazing what you bring out there. So what does the House of a Brahmin have to do with the avatars and with this whole process of templates and timing and the working of the enemy and the work of God?
Yeah, the avatar. An avatar is, you know, we know the word from the movie and we know the word from computer games, but an avatar comes from India. That's the word, and it comes in, and it means it's speaking of one who is connected with a god, or representing the god, or embodying the god, manifesting the god, and or living image of the god. Now, in ancient times, you know, ancient pagan times, they didn't just have gods. They had avatars, and that is that. I mean, first of all, if the god, or really the spirit or principality, possessed a person, they would become, in a sense, an avatar, a spokesperson of the god or goddess. That's in throughout pagan culture, but also the leaders were seen as avatars. For instance, the pharaohs of Egypt, they were seen as avatars, living images of the Egyptian gods. So to the kings of Babylon. I mean, so that was a hallmark of pagan, you know, cultures. Well, could it happen to America? The thing is, you know, if America has been driving God out, and when you empty the house, other spirits come in. But could we be at the point where actually people could be vying for power, almost ruling America, who are linked to these spirits or these gods? And the thing is that it makes sense because, you know, for a spirit, if you rule the king, you rule the kingdom. So it could happen. Well, there's one particular house viewed by India that is especially conducive to avatars, to producing people who become avatars. That's the house of Brahman, the priest of the pagan gods. Well, born to the house of Brahman, born in the house of Brahman, was a person who we know of as Kamala Harris. She's actually a Brahmin and born of the avatars. And in fact, her family, Hindu family name, which is Gopalin, is actually named after an avatar. And the thing is, and again, it's not about the person. We got to pray for all people. We love all people, and but you know, they don't know what they're doing. But people can be used. And the thing is that you know, the avatar has to be linked to a god or goddess. Well, the name Kamala that we all learned to say during all this, Kamala is actually the name of an ancient goddess, an ancient principality, an ancient goddess. And the thing is, if you miss that, so she's bearing the name of an ancient goddess. And if you miss that, her middle name is Devi, which means the goddess. So literally, her name means Kamala the goddess, which actually appears in Hindu writings. And the thing is, her the amazing thing, and we won't have time to go into all the detail, but amazing that I seek to bring out in the avatar, is that her whole life has been following the pattern of this goddess, the mystery of this goddess. For instance, this goddess was her birth, her origin, and her rising is all linked to the ocean. Well, so Kamala Harris, her birth is linked to the oceans, born on the San Francisco Bay. Her rising is on the San Francisco Bay. And the goddess Kamala becomes the number two ruler in the pantheon. The number two. Well, Kamala Harris becomes the number two ruler in America. And the one who was number one for Kamala Harris was Joe Biden. And, you know, they called him Sleepy Joe. And she ultimately took over the race. But the number one into the goddess Kamala is the god Vishnu. Now Vishnu, he's called, his title is the sleeping god. It's like Sleepy Joe, sleepy god. And the thing is that Kamala Harris always, what was characteristic of her and puzzling, is that she always was laughing at the wrong times. They called her Laughing Kamala. Well, the name Devi, actually, her middle name appears in Hindu writings, and it describes Devi as the laughing goddess, the laughing goddess. But it goes even more. The mystery gets even deeper. See, there's a day on the Indian calendar where they worship, it's the day of the goddess Kamala, and they worship her, the goddess, on that day, have her idols, and the whole day is dedicated to her. Well, as India was worshiping the goddess Kamala, and it's called Sharad Purnima. On the day Sharad Purnima, as that's happening, Kamala Harris is born. She's literally born on the day of the goddess Kamala, that she's named after. And so all around the world, they're chanting the name Kamala as Kamala comes into the world. In fact, they believe that on that day, the goddess Kamala actually does come into the world. So, and they open up their homes to welcome the goddess in. Well, so on the day they're celebrating the entrance of the goddess entering into the world, Kamala Harris is entering into the world. And they also believe that this day, Sharad Purnima, is a day, the day of the birth of the goddess Kamala. So on top of it all, Kamala, the woman, is born on the day of the birth of Kamala, the goddess. I mean, nobody could have controlled that. Nobody could have made that up. I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, and think about it, because this was, you know, this was almost the one who ended up ruling America.
Yes. And how did the characteristics of this god, how did they compare to Kamala's agenda?
Well, it's interesting because the goddess has two sides. The goddess Kamala, one is that she appears benign on one hand, benign, which kind of Kamala Harris did in ways. But on the other hand, she could, as Kamala, she could be deadly. And, you know, actually when she laughed, or the laughing goddess, actually does that as she brings destruction. And so Kamala Harris has also been, you know, on one hand, okay, innocuous, you know, but on the other hand, you know, this is the only major candidate in American history whose main issue was the killing of babies, abortion. The main issue. And she's probably the most radical. Hillary Clinton was incredibly radical on this, but she's even more radical. I mean, she has warred against people who are for life. I mean, warred against them. And so, I mean, you know, this is, so there is that other, the other side, which is deadly, which is bloody, you know, and that is the other side of it. And the thing is, let me go further. There, you know, in ancient times, you had images, like, for instance, you know, the avatar would be immortalized in an image. The pharaohs of Egypt, they would be immortalized in stone, where they would, the Egyptians would join the face of the pharaoh to the image of the god or goddess. They, you know, they would merge the man to the goddess, as in an avatar. And in fact, that's why he had all those strange headdresses on, because that was merging him to the god. Well, an image actually appears in America, not in stone, but on the internet, and it happened just before Kamala Harris would come to the White House. And the thing is that her own family is the one that put it up, and so they put it up on the web, and it's an image of Kamala Harris, her face, and they merged her with an ancient Hindu goddess, you know, with many hands and making war, you know. And this goes to the sign of the avatar. What does it all mean? And it's not, again, it's not about Kamala Harris as a person. It's simply, this is the sign. And that is that if she had won, think about it. America was always, is founded as to be one nation under God, you know, ruled by God, governed by God, led by God. Well, if she had won, America would have been ruled by a woman whose name means goddess. Mm. One nation under goddess. And so that's telling you where it was. And if the election had gone the other way, we would have been sealed. You know, we would have been sealed. And you even would have somebody named Goddess leading America.
Hmm. Well, David just dropped on my desk a picture that you were just referring to that was on the internet. And I had not looked at this and was just looking at what was circulating. This is all in the book, The Avatar, yeah, by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. The book's available anywhere and everywhere. You can buy books. Rabbi, we still have a little bit of time,
yeah,
and we don't want to finish. Yeah, we don't want to finish the morning without saying, you know, what does the sign of the Avatar mean for America, and what do we do about all this?
A few things. One is, while and this goes with there's always hope in my books. It always
there is. Yes.
What are
yes.
we supposed to do? And where are we going? What do we need to know? What's the prophetic moment? Well, you know, as Kamala Harris is actually born on a pagan or her birth corresponded with a pagan Hindu day. Donald Trump, his birth actually also linked up with a biblical day, and he was born on Friday. That begins the Sabbath, and so on. It's a Hebrew holy day, and every Sabbath there's a scripture that's appointed from ages past to be read on that Sabbath. So what was the scripture that was appointed to be read on the Sabbath of Donald Trump's birth? It amazing, because at the end of the this it ends with God commanding. It's God commanding to bring forth a vessel of God, to bring forth an instrument of God, to bring forth a trumpet of God, to bring forth a trump of God, literally. All over the world, they're reading this about the bringing forth of the trump, and the trump is brought forth. And that's part of the mystery of Donald Trump. He's linked to Jehu, and actually Jehu's linked to the trumpet, and he's a trumpet. You know, Trump, he's loud, he's jarring, but he's used. It's not about Trump. You know, we know he's a man, but he's used. And so the amazing thing is that what I shared at the beginning, that when I sounded the trumpet, in India, the spirits fled. If that's that's what it appeared. In Cuba, it was the image of the trumpet, the shofar on that plate, that struck the head of the goddess. And so you have the gods on one side, you have the trumpet on the other. Well, what Trump is being used for, and I'm not saying he knows it, but and I'm not saying what his motives are, it doesn't matter. What Trump is being used for is he's like a trumpet, as a trumpet, and to roll back the agenda of the gods, roll back the agenda of Moloch, the killing of children, roll back the agenda of Ishtar, the goddess of sexual confusion and merging of male and female and mutilating children. Well, all that's where we are. And the thing is, so think about it, Jonathan. Let's pull back the veil. We have an election, and on one side was a man whose name means trumpet, and on the other side was a woman whose name means goddess.
Yeah.
The trumpet sounded, the goddess fled. And in fact, you know what? On the day of Donald Trump's birth, the scripture also was appointed to be read, that scripture I told you at the beginning, where God says, when you're in warfare, sound the trump, and the enemy will be defeated. So where are we? And there's a whole mystery here, which we probably won't have time to go, let me just do a quick thing, and then we'll get to exactly where we are. I'll say this. One of the things the Avatar reveals is, these mysteries, and one of them is, even behind the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, that was a miracle. It was a fraction of an inch, a fraction of a moment. He turned his head exactly to that point and otherwise he would have been dead. But there's more to it. Because when God is going to use somebody for his purposes, like as in the priesthood of Israel, when a candidate for the priesthood is, going to be used, he's got to go through this ritual that marks him as he's going to be used by God. Well, it's the anointing of the priests. Well, that involves blood. According for the man to be ordained, blood has to touch the man, has to touch his ear. And
right.
So the blood touches Trump's ear. It has to touch his right ear, so it touches his right ear. It has to touch the tip of the right ear, touches the tip of the right ear. Then it has to touch his hand. First thing Trump does is he lifts his hand to touch the blood touches his hand. Has to touch his right hand, it's the right hand. Has to touch the right thumb, it's the right thumb. And then the mystery to be complete, the shoes of the man, the candidate for the office,
that's amazing.
Has to be removed. Well, Donald Trump is pushed down by Secret Service onto the stage where the blood had dripped, and his shoes are removed from his feet.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the mystery is 7 days. It's a 7-day anointing. You can read it in the Bible. 7 days. And if you take the day that from the blood touching the ear to the time that the man will be invested with the office or to begin, that he will serve in it, it's 7 days. And if you take the day that the blood touched Trump's ear, that's day one. Then biblically, the next day begins at sundown. Sundown to sundown, day two. Count the sundowns. The seventh day begins on Thursday night, July 18th. Anything happened? Thursday night, July 18th, Trump is standing before the world with a patch on his ear, and he is given the vestment to be he's nominated to become president of the United States. From the moment the blood touched his ear, he was going to be president of the United States. And that tells you that there's a reason for all this. It's not about Trump, it's not about politics. And that brings us to where the prophetic moment. We are, and this is what the Avatar reveals at the end, we are in a prophetic window. We've got a prophetic window. This is a chance given by God. If we change the government, but we don't change people's hearts, the unchanged hearts are going to change the government back. The only thing that can save America is revival. And we have to pray for revival as never before. We have a window, we may not have it again. This is a crucial window. So we got to pray as never before for revival. We have to work for revival as never before. We got to spread the word. We got to actually choose to live in revival as never before. Because if we do that, revival begins with us and we can touch America and touch the world. So this is such a crucial moment. And we just touched on some of the mysteries, but all these mysteries that the Avatar reveals is not only that we know where we are, I mean, we know what's happening and what we're dealing with, but also to know the prophetic moment and hour and where it's going and where it will go if my people, one way or the other, and that's the call. We got to rise to it. And so that is really what the Avatar is going to lead to, and that's what it's going to reveal.
In reading the book and coming to the end and looking at the mention of the Black Obelisk, I thought that was pretty significant, picture.
Okay.
That goes back a few thousand years, doesn't it? And that's recently been found. Can you just mention that? Because I think that ties in with...
There are so many mysteries we can't...
I know.
We won't talk about it, but I will just say, I'll say it this way. There's an ancient object that was found in the sands of the Middle East and actually links up with, it was manifest, links up with Jehu, links up with Donald Trump, and actually was matched up on that day of the assassination attempt. It actually matched this ancient image on the Black Obelisk, and there's a message there for America, because, it was actually an image of Jehu kneeling on his knees, and
humility.
On our knees, the only way that America can be saved, if my people, and we got to pray for Trump too, that he will also let God have his way, that this would happen. We got to pray for revival. It's an amazing moment.
Well, Jehu, he got a lot of things right, but he did mess up omissions as well, and there's a warning for us, isn't there?
Yeah, he was a mix, and that's a warning there. He was a mix, and the thing is that he did a lot. He did fulfill God's will, but he didn't go all the way, and we don't know that there was revival. So we got to pray that Trump becomes more than Jehu, better than Jehu, that there will be revival. I mean, there will be revival regardless, but that God would actually use him for revival. I mean, think about it. That the thing with the blood in the ear, that's a priestly thing. And what a priest is all about is not politics, but bringing a nation to God. So pray for God's will. Pray for that to have his way. And again, and I pray people, and speaking of that, because that's what we're praying for, I pray the reason for the Avatar is not only, for the mysteries and getting blown away, but that there can be revival. And so I pray that people, get it, not just for themselves, but get it for people in their life who need to know, need to be awakened, that there be revival, and also people who don't know the Lord, because, again, these are pretty heavy, pretty strong things that are hard to argue with. And so we're seeing people come to the Lord as well.
Well, the driving out of Baal, he drove Baal out, but the point that one of the points out of so many in the book you make is that, and you start by addressing that as well, once the house is cleaned, the house needs to be filled. And
yes,
so, as
exactly.
You said, revival,
exactly.
The spirit of God must be welcomed back into our hearts and into the hearts of our leaders in the nation.
Roll back the agenda of the gods, which is happening, in all sorts of places. And we roll that back, but we it's like casting out the gods, the trumpet sounding, the gods cast. But if we don't replace that empty house with the presence of God, as in revival, then the empty house is going to be filled again. That what was cast out is coming back. So that's why this is doubly crucial.
Once again, we've been talking today on Wednesday Live with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. And the most recent book that's been released is a very timely book that addresses the danger of cleaning your house and not filling it up with God. And this is so important in our nation today. We need revival. That's the only answer. The Avatar, the Return of the Ancients and the Future of America. This book can be purchased anywhere you can find books for sale online. There's plenty of places. And I just finished reading it. It will certainly challenge. It will challenge.